Your foundation's dug in Zion. Your house is built in Sodom. And you wonder why the walls keep falling down.
One of the things that I've been thinking about is the fact that we take the issue of our homosexual struggles to be such an injustice, as if the word struggle and the word Christian do not belong together in the same sentence. If God loves me, how can He let me struggle? Well, Rick Warren says in his book, A Purpose-Driven Life, that we learn obedience and trust through trouble and trials and temptation. He is right. This is a biblical view of life. In his book, The Road Less Traveled, M. Scott Peck says the sooner we accept that life is supposed to be hard, the sooner we can make sense of it and begin to live a productive life. If we are constantly whining about our struggles with homosexuality and our temptations and wimp it up, we are preparing ourselves for countless times around the same mountain. My view is that we must eat it up and resist the temptation to question God, the world, justice, and the universe every time things get a bit difficult. But we become hard and bitter, and so we force the Lord to use stronger means to test us into softness, acquiescence, and forgiveness. And be aware that when the issue of homosexuality fades into insignificance, as it will soon do, as we get over our self-pity, the Lord will find other ways to cure us even more thoroughly of our desire to indulge our flesh and escape His purposes for us. Romans 8 verse 28 is misunderstood by many. If you love the Lord and are called according to His purposes, then all things will work out for the good. Isn't it right? Yes, as long as we realize that His purpose is to form Christ in us and that He will use everything to achieve that. And here is the bad news. Having Christ formed in you is painful. This meditation by Spurgeon explains why. The language is a bit archaic, so bear with me. Hebrews 5 verse 8. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. We are told that the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. Therefore, we who are sinful and who are far from being perfect must not wonder if we are called to pass through suffering too. Shall the head be crowned with thorns, and shall the other members of the body be rocked upon the dainty lap of ease? Must Christ pass through seas of His own blood to win the crown, and are we to walk to heaven dry-shod in silver slippers? No, our Master's experience teaches us that suffering is necessary, and that the true-born child of God must not, would not, escape if he might. In other words, shouldn't want to escape if he could. But there is one very comforting thought in the fact of Christ's being made perfect through suffering. It is that He can have complete sympathy with us. He is not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In this sympathy of Christ we find a sustaining power. One of the early martyrs said, I can bear it all, for Jesus suffered, and He suffers in me now. He sympathizes with me, and this makes me strong. Believer, lay hold of this thought in all times of agony. Let the thought of Jesus strengthen you as you follow in His steps. Find a sweet support in His sympathy, and remember that to suffer is an honorable thing. To suffer for Christ is glory. The apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to do this. Just so far as the Lord shall give us grace to suffer for Christ, to suffer with Christ, just so far does He honor us. The jewels of a Christian are His afflictions. The regalia of the kings whom God hath anointed are their troubles, their sorrows, and their griefs. Let us not therefore shun being honored. Let us not turn aside from being exalted. Griefs exalt us, and troubles lift us up. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. This is Duncan Bauer from Johannesburg, South Africa, saying cheers for now, and I hope this helps.
Let me see if I'm getting this right. Your foundation's dug in Zion. Your house is built in Sodom. And you wonder why your walls keep falling down.